Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the mat. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hi, number three here on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on youtube.com/1080 AM The Fan or twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful day of the week.
Love Tuesday.
Okay, I'll keep pointing this out. You're right. The cold sucks. I don't like it. My heater's out in my house. I'd rather have it be 50 degrees.
Your heater's out in your house?
Yeah, look, I'm fine. My wife is not.
My wife.
She works from home. We have like the full size, like big space heater that you can put in the room. And she has made her office just a furnace. And it's so gross. So it's like, I can't be in here right now. But yeah, I don't know if it's my thermostat or my heater. I got to have them come check it out because as you've heard me doing the ad reads, also get your windows done. It'll save you money.
Don't barbecue inside your house, Danny. I feel like I need to remind you of this after our conversation last week.
Oh, no. You got to
like, Americans aren't that dumb. No, don't barbecue inside your house when it gets too cold.
Yeah, you have to have proper ventilation. But yeah, no, I've already replaced the air conditioning unit 2 years ago that was 18 years old. The heater, I think, is about that old or older, so that needs to be replaced now. But all I'm going to say is I should probably start doing some ad reads for a home warranty company because ladies, I have replaced my dishwasher, my AC, my water heater. Home ownership is fun. I think every appliance except for my washer and dryer, which were brand new when I moved in.
I'll never experience home ownership, so it's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, you're at that age.
My generation. We're not getting it. Thanks, guys.
Fox 12 Oregon tweeted this out this morning. Name something you didn't know was expensive until you became an adult. I thought that was the easiest answer of all time because it's being an adult.
Yeah,
it's being just an adult. Being an adult.
It's insurance,
it's
dude.
Insurance.
Insurance is a racket.
Whether it's insurance, your mortgage, or rent.
Property taxes.
Okay. Well, yeah, that kind of goes into all of that. Car payments, cable, food, electricity, garbage, sewage. Like being an adult is way more expensive than
there was a social media
think.
Video of a mother who got sick and tired of her teenage daughter just throwing stuff in the cart when they would go grocery shopping, and was like, "Nope." From now on, all your makeup. A young girl. It's like she's 17 or something, 16, 17 years old. Everything that you want outside of food, you have to pay for. And watching her ring it up, this costs this much, this costs this much, this costs this much. And it was like, yeah, welcome to reality, punching you in the face.
It's like back to that clip when Bill Gates went on Ellen. She's like, how much does a gallon of milk cost? And he was like, I don't know. He had no idea. Money's not. Money isn't important to him.
Like people that you know, everyday people right now probably experience is the price of eggs when they had that bird flu. That like, I hadn't bought eggs in the grocery store in a couple different trips, and I didn't realize that it had gone that crazy. And for a pack of brown eggs, it was like $11.99, and I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Well, what? This
but
is supposed
gas
to be like,
is down.
Like it was supposed to be $3.
Paid $40 to fill up my Camry.
I do love it when I see the gas prices tick on down. I have you know, the Fred Meyer gas station when you get the rewards.
You get them rewards.
I had the dollar off. Buddy, my tank was at like 14 miles still empty because, again, my wife doesn't put gas in my car ever. And filling that up at like 2.19 a gallon, the nostalgia hit pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Like I saw a full tank for that price and I went, that was 2006?
Yeah.
2006 the last time I saw that happen? So that was pretty cool. So,
oh, man.
Total derail, but there you go. Speaking of derails, the American Football Coaches Association in college football, they're done with the old transfer portal and its shenanigans.
Yeah, they got the coaches convention going on. I think it's in Charlotte right now. And
they want the changes.
Well, and there needs to be changes, but I think they're taking one step in the right direction. Then they're all going to say, wait, we don't want this anymore after the fact. But unanimously, the American Football Coaches Association has proposed only one transfer portal window. And this will go to the Football Oversight Committee at the end of this month. But it could be pretty big in the world of college football because what they're saying is only one window to transfer, and that window is only 10 days, and it is at the conclusion of the bowl season. Okay? So from January 2nd to January 12th, you would have the transfer portal open. At that point, after that, the transfer portal is closed. I'm assuming that this would kind of be the same as what we have now, which the 10-day window for any team that's still competing in the playoffs is still open until after the conclusion of your season. So it would be 10 days after the national championship, semifinals, quarterfinals, so on and so forth for any of those teams that play after January 1.
I just had an idea that if we did this like a when the portal opens and the portal closes, like do it almost like a game show.
Yeah.
Be kind of fun.
But this is big because there is a spring window as well that, mm-hmm. that currently opens, which I think there is value in having a spring portal that is open. I do like the fact that they're putting a 10-day window on it. It's only 10 days. It's after the season is over, so we don't have what we saw right now, what we saw this year, where like Bo Prigbula from Penn State, he's forced to enter the portal as his team is in the playoffs.
Prepping for a bowl game.
Because of the fact that he had to find a landing spot mm-hmm. because everybody else was transferring.
There's only so many spots, you got to get while the getting's good.
And if he wanted to get his pick, he had to mm-hmm. leave his team while they are in the playoff. That's not fair to him. That's not fair to Penn State. That's not fair to anybody on that roster.
Penn State didn't even have the option to get rid of their bad quarterback to go to their young kid.
But
because he was gone.
When you have that portal open in December, the dumbest thing ever was everybody saying, well, they're doing it because that you got to get guys in for the quarter and the semesters. No, you don't. No, you don't. And the coaches are just telling you that right now. They literally just signaled that right now. That was never something that was a reality. Because the reality is that all of these schools start and stop their fall and winter terms at different times. And so you didn't need to do it in December. If you want to get a guy into school, you can get a guy into school and everything's going to be fine, right? Especially once the house settlement happens, and this is also a big signal. Once they become employees, then at this point, you could still be taking online classes at one school and you won't have to have all of the eligibility requirements to where you have to be taking, you know, a certain amount of credits over the course of a school year to be eligible the next year. College sports are going to change dramatically with the house settlement once they are considered employees of the university and get paid by the university. But the AFCA proposed a 10-day window, one of them and one only, January 2nd to January 12th. At that point, you cannot enter the portal unless you are a graduate transfer. If you are a graduate transfer, so you get your degree, then you can transfer at the end of the school year.
Okay. You would like this to see the winter portal go away altogether, wouldn't you?
No. No. I do not want the winter portal to go away. I want it like this.
Okay.
At the end of, I think in a perfect world, it starts after the day after the national championship.
When all games are concluded.
Goes the day after the national championship, a 10-day window, and then at that point, it closes for everybody. And then at the conclusion of spring ball, for when once all the schools are done with spring ball, then you have another 10-day window. That's it.
Okay.
I think two windows are important because also, like, this is why coaches are going to have regrets over this plan is the unrecruiting of your roster
is going to happen while you're doing
real. Yeah. And you're going to go through spring ball and be like, nope.
Well, I mean, Pregnant is one of those guys.
He's not. Huh?
Emmanuel Pregnant is one of those guys.
Is one of what guys? Unrecruiting your roster?
As far as like the, I mean, he wasn't in the portal and then he was like.
No, I'm talking about you go through spring ball.
Oh, you're talking about unrecruiting your roster.
Unrecruiting your roster is when you have guys, and this happens all across college. Yeah. Actually, most players that go into the portal are unrecruited from your own roster, where you look at your roster and you go, he's not going to be a guy for us.
Yeah, he doesn't fit X,
and
Y,
or Z. Buddy, you should probably go and try to find a landing spot somewhere else. Mm. If you want to play, we want you to play. But it's probably not going to be here. And that is a lot of most of the guys that are in the portal. That's why you see guys drop down so much from Power Four to the Group of Six, mm-hmm. or FBS down to FCS. Like, because most of those guys they may have something. They just don't have it to play at that level.
And then you have the other guys who swing up who kind of slipped through the cracks early on that had developed, and now they
go
do their thing.
With the 105 roster limit that is coming down the pipeline, mm-hmm. where it's not an 85 scholarship limit, it is 105 all scholarship players. What you are going to see is a lot of schools are going to be attacking recruiting high school guys with, hey, go to, you know,
such and such.
San Jose State. Mm-hmm. And then you
go develop.
Prove yourself, grow, and you always will have a spot here if you improve and you grow. But right now, we just don't have the spots for you. That's mm-hmm. going to happen a lot.
I would bet it would be more junior colleges, though, especially if the Pavia stuff stays pat and it's not
to not hit the eligibility.
Yeah, like
junior college and NAI football, baby.
Right, like would it shock you if some of those junior colleges, like, even became like a breeding ground for coaches? Like, hey, we don't have a GA spot for you here at whatever
that
school.
That would shock me.
Go down to, you know, whatever, College of the Siskiyous, College of whatever. You go spend your time down there. We've got a couple kids down there. If they, you know, like you and they improve under you, maybe we find a spot for you after.
That would surprise me because they just don't have money. And now they're expanding coaching staffs now to where they can pay those guys. That would surprise me because they just don't have any money. But you're right with JUCO. Also, you're going to have coaching trees, right? Where, say, your tight ends coach or your defensive backs coach gets a job at a Group of Six school, and, dude, he may be pushing guys your way eventually because they're not competing for the same titles as you are.
No.
I mean, that could be a thing that happens. Basically, minor league in college football.
The professionalization and re-amateurization of college
Golly.
Sports.
NFL won't make a minor league, so college will. I mean, that would be crazy if that happened. Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking how these college coaches think, which is, how can we get an advantage any way possible?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what all of these coaches are doing.
It's just pushing the wheel down the hill. That's what this is. All right, coming up next, a bunch of people have asked about, like, oh, the Blazers possibly going to lose out. Da, 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 da. I went back through because I've talked about just how bad they've been over the last couple of years. When we get back, I'll tell you the exact path that they go to end up as one of the five worst teams in the NBA. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, the Fan.
Portland Trailblazers currently have 13 wins. They're taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Everyone's like, they're winning too many games. And we talked a little bit already about where they're at, where they're in the standings, and kind of how this can all shake out, right? Well, the thing about this is, and I've said this multiple times, come All-Star break, things will be different. And they're like, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Yes, you can. You know why I know you can? Because in 21-22, they went 2-21 post All-Star break.
That seems bad.
The worst record in the NBA. In 22-23, they went 5-19. The second worst record in the NBA. Last year, post All-Star break, they went 6-22, the worst record in the NBA. If you combine it all, that is 13-62. That is 75 games. It's a 17% winning percentage. That is on pace to win 14 games over an 82 game season.
If you just take their tanking at the end of the season.
Yes, and so I've seen people, well, what pace are they on right now? The pace that they're on right now doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because it's going to change in 3 weeks.
I think Blazer fans especially have been conditioned to think in the terms of when they were competitive. In all of that pacing and the projecting of how many wins they would have, it was always that furious finish that the Blazers would have to do to either get to the playoffs or in order to get to a point where seeding mattered, right? And they got more favorable seeding. That was what they would always do. And so there is this conditioning that, well, you always peel off a few more wins than you think. Well, I think what we're looking at now is this team is losing far more games than they should based on the projections at the midway point of the season. And sure, that's kind of how we need to reframe and refocus what this team is right now. Because it's not good.
I've seen some people say, well, they're going to sit guys? And I'm like, yeah, it's exactly what's going to happen. Have you not watched the past 3 years?
Well, yeah. But who are they going to sit is the question.
I mean, anybody who's still here who's impacting winning.
And that is going to be the interesting part. We talked about this in last week,
mm-hmm,
when we talked about like the trade market does not seem like it is going the way that people were hoping it would for a lot of teams, not just Portland.
You can basically say every team in the league, anything over basically $18 million.
And that is, I mean, that's a...
Transactions will happen, but if you're talking about with the Trailblazers, you're probably looking at guys like Jabari Walker and Duop Reith. You're not looking at guys who are making real money.
And we're going to have to see a lot more guys taking seats then, if that's the case.
And I mean, here's the thing. We've already seen Jeremy Grant do it in the past.
Yeah.
He hasn't played a game post-March or in March in the past 3 years.
What's going on with his face?
He got smacked in the jaw really hard. Okay. And he did not get put in concussion protocol, but it jacked up his jaw and his neck. Pretty bad. I know everybody's like, oh, they're sitting him for trades. And it's like, guys, you don't sit the guy who underperformed from two this year and would kind of need, you want him to go out there and play for a couple of games and be like, it was just a bad start in the middle of trade season. That's not how that works, like, at all, in any way, shape, matter, or form. And yeah, it's the same thing has happened with Matisse. And I'm like, Matisse basically turned his ankle upside down. Matisse flat out told me that the doctors told him basically it almost would have been better had he broken his ankle as opposed to the level of sprain that he had.
Yikes. And that usually happens, though, if you have a really bad sprain.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was a grade 2 sprain. It was not upper ankle. It was upper ankle. It was just normal, like mid ankle, but it was very bad. It was a grade 2, which means there are partial tears.
Yeah, all sprains are tears.
And then, well, the grade 2 is, you know, the closest you get, because grade 3 is a full tear and or rupture. Mm-hmm. So, but he was coming back off of procedure that he had done on his knee. He had some PRP done to his knee, and if you've ever had PRP done, it can make you swell up like a balloon. I've had it done on my knees four different times, and it's not a fun process. Like, it can help a ton, but it also, you have some aggravation and swelling, and when he came back from that, it just took a little while, and when he was, I think he was two days away from returning when he rolled his ankle, and he rolled the living crap out of it. And talking to him before they went on this last road trip, he was like, yeah, no, I've, in the only way Matisse can do something, he was like very thoughtful. He's like, throughout this whole process, I've really learned to understand like all of the inner workings and like how an ankle actually works. Like, I've sat down and talked to the doctors, and of course I just kind of like laugh. Like, of course you would, Matisse. Yeah, like that's what you take out of this. But then he also drops they also told me it probably would have been better had I broken it. And I was like, yeesh.
Not good.
It was gnarly. Like, it was a really bad sprain. So for everybody's, like, every time somebody hits the injury report, oh, it's trade. No, it's not. Like, if we're like 3 days away from the trade deadline, tighten the tinfoil. 3 weeks? No. Like, that's not when it happens.
I think we'd all love to see something happen, though.
Yeah, I would too. And when I say this stuff, it's not because I don't want to see things happen, or, you know, I'm poo-pooing transactions. Like, oh, can't do that. There's just no traction in the NBA around deals right now of any significance.
Yeah.
So.
But I said it before, I'll say it again. I think that we will all look at it as a failure if other teams are able to get stuff done, but the Blazers aren't, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it lands with this. If nobody can make moves and that's just the way that the CBA is that restrictive, then, look, you can only play the hand you're dealt, right? But if other teams are finding ways to get deals done, that is where you go, that's a failure.
That's where I had a GM say when they were talking about trades. Like, if trade does happen, there's only so many buyers out there. If you have a piece that, like, you could potentially be moved, you have to find a way to win that transaction. And not, like, win the outcome, but have it be that your guy is the one that's moved, as opposed to everyone else's. Mm-hmm. And that's and like you said, if that happens, then yeah. Then you can start having that discussion about whatever teams don't get something done versus the team that did.
Because at that point, we sit there and we hear often about the movable assets that they have, the contracts being structured in a way that they could be moved, and guys that would be attractive on the trade market. And if they're not being, if they're not attractive enough to, for anybody wants them, then we overplayed our hand here in Portland, right? And that's what, that's where we would be at that point. But as of right now, look, we're all just hoping, waiting, wishing that something happens at or near the trade deadline.
It's an interesting place to end up, that's for sure. All right,
but don't panic. We can lose enough games here at the end of this year.
Yeah, they've showed that they're more than capable of doing that. Coming up next is some NFL news and notes to dive into. Mike Tomlin is squashing rumors, and playoff pricing is getting a little bonkers. But first, here's Big Will Betts with a SportsCenter update.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Well, Mike Tomlin, longtime coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has put his foot down and stopped any and all the nonsense about him potentially being traded for.
Ooh, hey.
He says, save your time. Which,
yes, thank you.
He doesn't, would he want to even go anywhere? Like, that's the thing, is like, he's, what, is it 16 straight years now with 16 straight winning seasons?
Yeah, his entire career.
Yeah, it's 16 though, right?
I think
it's 16 or 17. I can never remember which year he's on. But he had his season-ending news conference and about his availability and any potential trade. He said, save your time.
And he said, love that.
I understand the nature of it is what is we do, the attention of criticism that comes with it. As a matter of fact, I embrace it, to be quite honest with you. I enjoy the urgency that comes with what I do and what we do.
He started becoming, he was the head coach in 2007, so this would be 17 years.
Good God.
17 straight. Non-losing seasons
because he's got 800.
He's got a few.
He's got a few 8-8 seasons. Okay,
yeah. He's got 3-8-8s. They went 8-8 in 2019, 13, and 12. But he has not had a losing season as a head coach. That's pretty good.
That's insane.
That's pretty good. I've heard that is okay there, Mike Tomlin.
And how many in 17 seasons? He's probably made the playoffs. What, 12 times?
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
Yeah.
12. 12 of 17.
Yeah.
He's missed the playoffs in his 9-win seasons and the 3-8-8s.
Which, again, that's insane.
Yeah, he's really good coach.
12 playoff appearances. Now, go ask the Cleveland Browns if they'd take that. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Detroit Lions prior to the last year. Like, it's a level of success that's pretty insane.
I still go and just lean on the amount of crazy that he has dealt with. Think of this man. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell,
Deontay
George
Johnson.
Pickens, Deontay Johnson. Like, we're not even talking about James Harrison, who's a different kind of crazy. He's not like diva crazy.
They keep Debo around.
But he is like, I will murder you, and I will play volleyball with a 50-pound medicine ball. Like, he's a nut job. Like, he has dealt with so many different kinds of crazy, and all they've done is won.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. And
like
right now, it isn't about Mike Tomlin. It is about quarterback.
Yes.
And that's not a Mike Tomlin problem.
No. It's not. And it's a really interesting spot for them to kind of be in as far as it. I've seen some Steelers fans like, we just need to make the change. So getting rid of the coach changes your quarterback play? Like, I know Mike Tomlin isn't out there looking for, you know, Joe Burrow at quarterback to play that style of offense, but I guarantee you they'd take Joe Burrow if he was available to them.
Yeah, they would.
So, like, it's that's not the issue. It's if you're saying you want to get rid of Mike Tomlin because you want a full reset and you want to crater the organization so that you have a chance at a top five pick, okay. But I'm telling you right now, boy, does it suck, especially where culturally you are an organization that has had three coaches in, what, 60 years?
Well, and I think it's the stupidest thing that our media does is they sit there and they try to find these storylines. This is not it.
No.
This isn't it. Like, you want to go ahead and say, what did the Steelers need to do? Moving Mike Tomlin isn't...
It's not even on the list.
And why even bring it up? Do you understand what the Rooney family is? How they operate? They're not going to move on from a head coach right now, and because they're sitting there saying, this is the least of our worries.
Yes.
Right
it's
now,
not even a worry.
The last thing that we need to worry about is our head coach. The number one thing is our quarterback. The number two thing would be our offensive coordinator. Is there a little bit of truth to the fact that he doesn't have a lot of guys that are on his staff that go on to be head coaches? Yeah, he has that. But also, it's Pittsburgh, and they have all of their assistants are there because they want to be Pittsburgh guys, too. The grass isn't always greener. Not everybody wants to be a head coach. To nitpick, like, his coaching tree because all they do is win and don't have losing seasons, all right, go ahead and do that at your own peril. But I would love to have a guy who has the ability to keep a staff around him for a really long time. Is maybe he too loyal to guys like Matt Canada? Uh-huh. Yeah, a little bit. But he also got rid of Matt Canada, too.
Eventually. It happened.
Yep.
Speaking of crazy and the crazy adjacent, Deontay Johnson has now been thrown off his fourth team in the same calendar year. Same season, not calendar year, because we are on a new calendar year.
You know the only guy in Mike Tomlin's coaching tree? Bruce Arians.
Really?
Yeah.
Who? Pretty good coach.
That is the only coach that has coached under Mike Tomlin to go on to be a head coach.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's wow. Really weird.
The only one is Bruce Arians.
Smith doesn't count?
Arthur Smith?
Yeah.
No.
Wasn't he an OC there?
Mm-mm. He is now.
He is now.
Oh, I thought he was before.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
That's
I just looked that up. And
really?
I went to...
Does he elevate other assistant coaches because they're not good enough?
I don't know.
Or they just stay that long?
Yeah, Arthur Smith, his NFL was Washington, Tennessee, and then Atlanta and Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I had him wrong. It was Tennessee. Yeah.
The only one.
A lot of his coaches are older. Tomlin goes and hires.
Yeah, because it's guys that are really good coaches that they're not the young, innovative guy, but they know a lot of football. And, like, to...
Who was the ancient guy that was their DC for years?
People that are Dick LeBeau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a walker out there.
The Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a walker out there. That's his coaching tree.
But to sit there and be like, yeah, they're not doing it right. Are they? Are they really not doing it right? Because I feel like they're doing a pretty good job of what they got going on there. I feel like they've kind of nailed it. Dick LeBeau, dead or alive?
Alive.
He's alive.
Alive.
There you go.
Still
he's old.
Born September 9th, 1937.
Wow.
He's 87 years old. In London.
Old London?
No, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
I was like, why is he in London?
Well, no, yeah, like 37?
He was born in London.
My man got out at the right time.
Born in London, Ohio.
Did something important happen in the 30s?
No.
Nah,
the 40s?
Also, no.
The whole city definitely wasn't rebuilt 10 years later.
Is it the 80th anniversary of something important in Easy Company?
No.
Boy, I'm looking at this, and it's amazing. Like, I don't even see... Usually when you see, like, an 87-year-old, it's like, well, you know, maybe. Maybe he was in Korea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. He has no service to his name. That's crazy. You'd think that he'd served at some point.
Oh, he didn't.
1987, no. Or no, 1937, he was born. No.
That is kind of crazy.
Yeah, right? I don't see anything here. All right. Well, huh. Dick LeBeau. That's talking Dick LeBeau.
Well, again, Steelers adjacent. Deontay Johnson, fourth team in the same season. How insane is that? Like, every team talked themselves into it because it's not like this isn't a talent issue because he's talented.
Yeah.
To play for four franchises and for four franchises to be like, nah, dog, you're not worth the crazy.
Yeah. Seeing Daniel Jones in a uniform yesterday, you're like, well, there's a lot of different things that, you know, maybe if you need him as an emergency, sure. You can do it. But with Deontay Johnson, so what are the four teams that he was on this year?
You had
Pittsburgh, obviously.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Houston, Carolina, and Baltimore.
Okay.
And think about that. You have three very functional franchises.
Yeah, I think.
And then one.
With the playoffs, in the way that the playoffs work especially, is like if guys start getting healthy, you take a look and you're like, all right, this may not be he's just completely wackadoodle. It's he doesn't have a good enough grasp on our offense because he hasn't been here long enough. And we have guys coming back, maybe getting healthier. And so the roster moves and transactions. But with a guy that talented, they usually stick around for at least the playoff
run. That's what I mean. Like, it's not like the Texans couldn't use him. They're not getting Diggs back.
Nope. But other positions, you only have so many spots that's that true. You can have. And so guys that you can use.
And Nico's back and looking.
Nico's great. Back. Tank Dell.
No,
like,
not Tank. Because Tank's legs.
You're thinking Mechie.
His leg went.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mechie. Yeah, Tank's leg.
Cancer
went.
Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Tank's leg went the wrong way.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, dislocated kneecap.
Dalton Schultz, too.
Oh, it's true, yeah. Because they were running their other tight ends.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I forgot CJ Stroud cried.
Yeah, it's best friend, man.
I still don't hold that against CJ Stroud.
I don't. It's your best friend, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you knew immediately, and you know he felt guilty for like putting him in that position.
I mean,
he shouldn't, but like that's I think it's a natural feeling.
I think that leg was about to go.
So, nice. When we come back, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show with the dumbest text message maybe in the history of all time.
Oh, okay.
Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
I love a good criminal story that just has the dumbest possible ending. Like this woman, Octavia Wells, who thought she was sending a text message to her drug dealer. Instead, it was a undercover investigator, who she texted to purchase fentanyl from before she left town.
Okay, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. How do you, undercover detective, she just, like, did she go to, like...
One number off kind of a deal? It's like a woman was arrested after accidentally texting a sheriff's department's investigator instead of the drug dealer she was trying to contact.
Oh, so it wasn't undercover. It was just an accidental, to a detective, like, hey...
Yeah, this was like the person, who ultimately would have been arresting her regardless...
Oh, boy.
...was the person she accidentally texted.
Boy, if just that's not some bad luck, I don't know what is there. And like, what was it? Hello, sir. May I get that fentanyl
Let
from
me get
you
that
today?
So she shows up at the sting at a gas station, and they bust her for, here's another, a fun one, unlawful use of a two-way communication device. What, is there like a lawful communication use of a one-way device?
Or maybe she was just spamming to everybody in the community, like, hey, leaving town. Anybody got some? Just like, text everybody.
555-1234. 555-1235. Just going through all of the versions.
I think that's probably a reasonable explanation there. And how lucky is it for that investigator that he is one number off from a drug dealer if that's the case?
I know. I mean, like, this is like going up to the Rainbow Trout Farm. I did that as a kid. So there's like the Rainbow Trout Farm pond. No. I didn't fish in that. There is a stocking pond that is the size of like, it's maybe 6 feet across, and there's like 500 fish. Like they're just, they can't move. Basically, there's a tube that they go through to get into the actual pond. I fished in that.
Oh.
That's essentially what this cop did.
Yeah. I went to a trout farm and I didn't catch a fish.
Really? That seems kind of impossible.
Yeah, right?
On Mount Hood or a different one?
It's Bed Bay, dude.
No, I think it was out in North Plains. Yeah. I don't know. I was young, but I remember just being like, well, that was not fun. Everybody else just catching fish left and right around me.
Just slamming lines all over you.
What is going on here?
I mean, this cop didn't go catch and release, but yeah, they got her for
holy smokes,
unlawful use of a two-way communication device, possession of drug paraphernalia, and driving with a suspended license.
Yikes!
So she was driving out of town with a suspended license and wanted her fentanyl.
That actually all tracks.
Mm-hmm.
That does track. That's a tough way to go down if you're Octavia.
Octavia.
Yeah. All right. Well,
named after the Caesar.
I don't think so.
You mean Octavius?
That would be the female version of Octavius, yes. Yeah, yeah. Octavia.
Named after, though. Loosely based on.
Look at the big brain on Brad.
That's right. I watch, you know, Lex Friedman clips.
Will, I appreciate that mental flex that you just had right there. You know? You show people that you know stuff.
I do. All right? I know things. I just don't know streets or avenues.
Or blocks. Parkways. Or neighborhood names.
Nope. Don't even pretend.
You know, there's a bridge that leads to it?
Just give me a landmark. If you give me a landmark, I'll get
there. The Selwood Bridge?
Yeah, how about that? Is that one? Is that good enough for you?
That leads into the Selwood.
You didn't know what Athlete's Corner is. I don't know Oregon. That's not my fault. I'm from Washington.
How about Oaks Park? Do you know where that is?
I'm aware of its existence. I will not go.
What?
I'm anti-amusement.
You're too good for Oaks Park?
No, I'm too good for amusement parks.
Dude. Anti. You don't like roller skating?
I don't enjoy amusement or the park.
They don't enjoy you.
Dang. Fun police there. All right, that'll do it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Bye.